Before we would open God's word, let's bow our hearts in prayer. Loving, gracious, and ever so merciful Father in heaven above, we come before thee in prayer, before thy holy face. We give thee thanks, dear Father, and we ask thee to enlighten our hearts. Open our mind and our heart that we would receive thy word gladly, that we would with joy come before thee and give thee the thanks that belongs to thee, dear Heavenly Father. Bless our gathering this afternoon hour and be with us. Give us words, Father, to speak, that we would be edified and that thy name would be glorified. This we ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. This afternoon hour, I would like to also go to the Old Testament. Let's read together from the book of Judges, chapter 6. Let's read first 24 verses. Book of Judges, chapter 6, from the beginning, first 24 verses. Knjiga o sudijama, šesta glava, prvih 24 stiha. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came up as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress, to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the land of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour, and flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth, and he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forward the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrite. If we read the whole or all the chapters, the book of Judges, we see a certain pattern. Each story follows the same pattern. The sin starts out with sin. People of Israel, it says, did evil in the sight of the Lord God. It's always the first thing. Starts out with sin. Then he follows with servitude. They're giving. God gives them in the hands of their enemies. They get oppressed. And then after that, supplication, prayer. People of Israel, when they're in trouble, then they come before God. They start out as sin, serving other gods, not real gods, serving the idols. And it was very, very common for people of Israel to turn to other gods. But when they're in trouble, they do not call those gods that they're serving. They call the true God, because they know the true living God can help. The gods that they were serving could not help. And they knew this, and yet they would still serve them. Why would they serve those gods that are not real? Those gods cannot punish them, they cannot reprimand them, they cannot do anything. It's easy to serve someone when there is no consequence of any evil doing. So they would serve those gods. So they sinned, and then they get oppressed by the enemy, as we see in this chapter, chapter 6, the Midianites. And then they pray unto God. They lift their voices and cry unto God. And because of God's mercy and because of his love, what does God do? He gives them salvation. He sends a deliverer, someone to come and save them. And after that, even in this book of Judges, we can see that there is peace, silence, for a short period of time. Until, again, they turn away from God, start serving idols, and then they get oppressed, and they call upon God. It's the same thing over and over. Each story follows the same pattern. So in this chapter, we read the beginning, it says, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he delivered them into the hand of Midianite 7 years. It said the hand of Midianite prevailed against them. Every time that they would sow the seed to have the fruits and vegetables to eat, to have food for themselves. When it was ready, when the harvest time came, Midianites, it says, the Amalekites, and the children of the east, which were Arabians. They were east of them. They all came right at the perfect time, harvest time. They came with their camels, with their cattle, and they completely destroyed the increase of earth. They took everything. They left them nothing. They had nothing to eat. All the labor for nothing. So many of them were hiding. They made caves in the mountains, and they were hiding. They would take some food, some grain, wheat, and hide. And this is what Gideon did too. He was hiding from them in a hole, in a little place, hiding from them. The wheat to have some food for himself. It says that Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. So when they were in trouble, they called upon God. I read somewhere, someone said, if you only pray to God when you're in trouble, then you are in trouble. Then you are in deep trouble. We should never wait to pray to God when we are in trouble, when we are in need. We need to pray to God every day, every moment of our life. But people of Israel, they only prayed to God when they were in some kind of a oppression. And that happened so many times. We can read through the whole Testament. It seems like they never learned. So God sends them a prophet to remind them, to admonish them, to correct them. This is God's mercy and love. So when they cried to the Lord, the Lord sent them a prophet. He says, he came up to them and he says, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. He's reminding him. He's reminding the people of Israel. I brought you out from the land of Egypt where you were servants. You were in bondage 400 years. And we know the story how Moses went in and brought the people out. Seems like people of Israel always needed someone to deliver them, to help them. On their own, they couldn't do it. So God is reminding them through the prophet here. He says, I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. They got their land. They got everything. He fed them with manna, the food that came from heaven. And I told you, he says, then I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed the voice. They did not listen. Even the prophet that came up to them. So now God, again, being full of mercy and love and compassion, he's trying again. So this time he sends an angel, and he comes to this man here, says, Gideon. We have never heard of him before. And he himself said that he was nobody in his family. His family was very poor. He wasn't known. So the angel says unto him, he said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. The angel, God, saw something in Gideon, something that even Gideon himself did not see. Gideon realized that he wasn't great. He wasn't known. He didn't think of himself as a man of valor, as a mighty and strong, powerful man. He was just hiding from Midianites, trying to get some food for himself and maybe his family. He does say that he had many wives later on. I'm not sure this time if he was married or not. So the salutation was, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, now Gideon at this time did not know that it was an angel. Perhaps he thought he was a prophet, a man of God. And he said, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why then is all this befallen us? So he's questioning the angel, not knowing that it was an angel, because he greeted them as Lord is with you. Well, if Lord is with me, then why are we suffering? Why are we oppressed by the enemies? And then he continues on. He says, and where be all his miracles, all the things that we have heard from our fathers, how he brought us out of Egypt and did all the miracles in the wilderness, saving us and working with us, giving us food from the heaven. Lots of miracles that God did to the children of Israel. Where is all this? He's questioning him now. He says, where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us out from Egypt, and so on. And now he has left us. See how humans think. He thought, just like the rest of them, God had left us. He has forsaken us. Instead of saying, we have forsaken God. If we ever feel that God is not near unto us or close unto us, let's never think that God has forsaken us. If he's not close to us, that means we have moved, not God. God will not depart from us. We depart from him. When? When we sin. Sin separates us from God. And that's exactly what happened to the children of Israel. They did evil in the sight of God, and they were oppressed. They had nothing to eat. Verse 14, it says, and the Lord looked upon him. So we see that Gideon had zeal for God. He believed in God. He had faith. The way he spoke, that's what made him to be a mighty man of valor. The way he felt. God saw his heart. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, in this might, in this zeal, you will prevail. He said that thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? So this angel is telling him to go and save Israel, one man, to go and save Israel from the multitude of Amalekites, Midianites, and people of the east. They said that they were as grasshoppers for the multitude. They came with camels. They entered in and destroyed the whole land. So there was, I read somewhere, I don't know if it was in the Bible or somewhere, there was like 135,000 soldiers from the Amalekites and Midianites and the people of the east. And people of Israel, when he gathered them all together, there's much to be said. We didn't read about three, maybe chapters that speak about Gideon. They had, I think, 35,000 people going against 135,000. So, angel says, have I not sent thee? And he said, so he's justifying himself, oh, my Lord, wherewith, how can I save Israel? He felt very weak, inadequate. He wasn't known, didn't have anyone following him. He wasn't a general or a commander or a captain or anything. He was just another person in a small, poor family. He says, behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Not even being the greatest in the father's house, the least. Nobody, nothing. But, Lord says, surely I will be with thee. If God is with us, who can go against us? It's the power of God. It's not the power of Gideon or any other man. It's the power of God that works through his people. Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Now, Gideon, again, a little lack of faith we can sense here. He believes, he understands. He's not telling him no, and yet he's trying to get out of it a little bit. And he needs a little proof, too. So in verse 17, he says, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign. I need to see a sign that you are talking to me. Well, he saw him talking to him, but he wanted a sign that he is a messenger of God, still not realizing that he's an angel. He probably thinks he's a prophet, a man of God. He said, stay here, depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring for my presence. He wanted to offer a gift for him. And the angel says, I will stay, I will tarry. So as we read, Gideon went in, made ready a kid and 11 cakes of an ephah of flour, and he brought it all to present it unto him. And the angel of God said, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock. He created a fire from the end of his staff that he had in his hand. Here is a great miracle, something that could not just happen. So now Gideon's eyes are open. Now he realizes this is an angel of the Lord that God has sent him. Now he's afraid. The Bible speaks in the Old Testament and New Testament that a man in this body, in flesh, cannot see God and live. And he knew this. Now he's afraid that he will die. He saw angel. He saw God's presence. He will die. He's done. He's finished. Not thinking back, why would angel appear unto him to tell him to go save Israel, and now he's going to die? He says, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face, it was impossible to see God face to face. Even Moses, whom God spoke with, he says that God spoke to Moses face to face, and yet Moses did not see his face. He only saw him from the back. It was impossible to see God in this body. And the Lord said, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Why would God kill someone when he speaks to him and he's sending him to fight against the enemies? And then Gideon built an altar to the Lord, and it says that he called it Jehovah Shalom, and it's still there. This is a far I read, and of course there's so much to be said about Gideon, so I would like to continue as much as God will permit to the rest of the chapters. Then God gives Gideon assignment. He tells him to go. Now his father was an idol worshiper. And he says, the verse 25, the Lord said to Gideon, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father had, and cut down the grove that is by it. So God gives him assignment to go and knock down the altar where they were worshiping other gods. So Gideon, being obedient, he does it, and yet he does it at night because he was afraid. He was afraid of his father and the people of that place. So he did it. He still did it. He was obedient, but a little bit afraid. So he did it by night. Even though in the morning they realized that the grove was down, and so they wanted to know who did this. And of course, everyone, for some reason, either someone saw him or for whatever reason, they knew that it was Gideon. So they wanted to put him to death. They wanted to kill him because he knocked down the altar where they were serving other gods. So now Joash, his father, even though he was the one that built it, even though he was the idol worshiper also, he realized that that God is not a real God. And he tells the people, he said, will ye plead for Baal? Will you save him? Let that God, which is not a real God, let him plead for himself if he's the true God. Of course, people realized that was not the true God. Baal could not plead for himself. It's an image that was made by men. The rest of the chapter speaks about Gideon getting all the people together. Now he will go and battle against the Amalekites. But before he does, he needs another miracle. A little lack of faith, lack of trust. He needs one more miracle. Even the Greek New Testament, you can see it says Greek are people are seeking a sign. When Jesus was crucified, the people were making fun of him. He says, come down from the cross, and then we will believe you. We know that they wouldn't believe then either. But people always need a sign. They always need a miracle, more and more. Do we need miracles in our life? We have so many. But sometimes we want something that's supernatural, something great. Even then, we would ask for more miracles. That's how humans are. Always more and more. We just want to be sure. It said in verse 34, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. So God was working with him. So he gathered all the tribes. Then verse 36, it says, Gideon said unto God, if, now he's questioning God. We should never say if. We know that with God, everything is possible. If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Very interesting the way he says, if you will save Israel the way you, as you said that you will. He said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and the rest of the earth will be dry, then I shall know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Kind of sounds like he's testing God. If you are real, if you really will save people of Israel, do this one miracle. Have the fleece be full of dew, wet, the rest of the earth to be dry. God did not admonish him, he worked with him because, again, of his mercy. So Gideon wakes up in the morning and lo and behold, the fleece is all wet, the rest of the earth is all dry. That should be enough. That should be more than enough, right? No. Here he comes again. Gideon said unto Lord God, let not thine anger be hot against me. Kind of sounds like Abraham when he was asking, if there would be 50 people left in Sodom and Gomorrah, will thou destroy the land? He said, I won't. What about 40? And he kept on going all the way down to 10. Let not thy anger be kindled against me. I will ask one more time. Same thing here, Gideon. Let not thy anger be against me. But let's do it opposite now. Let the dew be on the whole earth except on the little piece of fleece. God, again, does exactly what he asked him to do. Now Gideon has no more, but keep on going, asking for more miracles. How many would he need? I'm not really sure what was the reason he wanted so many miracles. He wasn't self-confident. He doubted himself. He didn't trust in God fully as he was supposed to. He had faith, but was very weak. He was trying to get out of it, maybe. And yet he's obedient, and at the same time he's doubting. He wants more and more miracles just to make sure that God is with him continuously. So now they're preparing for the battle. Now God tells Gideon, he says, there are too many people. 35,000 against 135, a multitude. It's too many people. And God did not want people to, because God was about to deliver Amalekites and Midianites into the hands of people of Israel. He did not want people to say, we won the battle. We delivered ourselves from our enemies. So it's too many people. So God tells Gideon, those that are fearful, those that are afraid, those that do not want to go to battle, go home. 20,000 people left. They all went, so there was 10,000 people. Those that were afraid, they all left. They were oppressed, didn't have nothing to eat, but now they're afraid, they don't want to fight. And God says, still too many. 10,000 people against the multitude, way too many. So now he's telling Gideon, take all these 10,000 people, bring them to the little creek, and let them drink water. And those people that would kneel down and lap like the dogs do, keep them. The rest need to go home. So 300 people were drinking water as the dogs do. And with those 300 people, God delivered the Amalekites, delivered Israel from Amalekites, Midianites, and people of the east. Here's another thing that God tells Gideon before they started the battle. He said, go into the camp. I think it's in the next chapter. Go into the camp and verse number 9, chapter 7. And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it unto thine hand. I have delivered your enemies in your hand. That should be enough. But if thou fear to go down, if you are afraid, take with you thy servant, Pura, I guess it's pronounced. Take your servant with you down to the host. And guess what? He took his servant. He was afraid to go by himself. God is telling him, you go and just listen. You're not going to fight. Just go down close to the host, to their camp. But if you're afraid, take someone with you. So he did take someone with him because he was afraid. Just like when he had to break down the altar. He did it at night. He was a little bit afraid. So he goes down with his servant close to the camp, and he hears the two soldiers speaking to each other. They were on guard, most likely. And one of them said, I had a dream last night. So he tells him the dream. He says, verse 13, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it, that he fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay alone. And the other fellow that was with him, he says, this is nothing else than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all his host. So this man is interpreting the dream of his fellow, his friend that were on guard. He's telling him, this is nothing other than the sword of Gideon. They already knew about Gideon. And they were very afraid. And yet they were so great. They took all the increase of the people of Israel that they had. And now they're afraid of one man. So now here's another miracle for Gideon. God supplied one more to him. The dream. So when he heard the dream and the interpretation, he said that he worshipped and returned it to the host, and he said, "Then now he's ready. Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian." The rest of the chapter speaks how they did it. They made noise. They had the torches. And the camp, this was at night. The Midianites, the Amalekites, whoever was there, when they heard the noise, woke up middle of the night, heard the noise, and they were so afraid that they actually turned against each other and killed each other. So Gideon and the 300 men won the war. Was it because the men were so mighty, or was it because God was with them? Even though Gideon needed so many miracles and needed to witness God's grace and God's power, yet he did trust in God. And we can read about him in Hebrews chapter 11, where he speaks about the mighty man of faith. He was numbered amongst them. Another interesting thing that I find about Gideon, after the war, they won. The men came up to Gideon, it says, this is in chapter 8, verse number 22. It says, "Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, Rule thou over us, both you and your sons, and thy son's son, your generation also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian." People of Israel, kind of like today, people need a leader. They need someone to lead them. Back in the days, there was kings leading people. Most of the people need a leader, someone that will lead them to war, to anything. Even in workplaces, you always need someone that's in charge. So they said to Gideon, because of him, they were free. Now they're free from the oppression. It says, "Rule thou over us, both you and your son and your son's sons." Now Gideon's answer was very humble. It says, "And Gideon said unto him, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you." Very good answer. The Lord God shall rule over you. We know when Israelites wanted a king, we wanted to be like the rest of the nation. Give us a king, they said to Samuel. But you have king, your Lord God is king. No, we want king, just like the rest of the people. And they got king, Saul. We know how he turned out. "I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you." Very beautiful and good, solid answer. Is that exactly what he meant? Was he really that humble that he did not want to rule? Yes and no. Rest of the chapter speaks about him. Perhaps he got a little high-minded. Because of him, God has delivered Israelites. First thing he did, he said, "God will rule over you." Verse 24, it says, "Gideon said unto them, But I would desire a request of you." Just do this little favor for me. "Give me your earrings of prey," for they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. Give me things. I don't want to rule over you. I don't want to be your king. God will rule over you, but give me a gift. Give me some things. So they gave him all the gold that they had. So now he makes kind of like a vest the priest would wear. He said that Gideon made, verse 27, he made an ephod thereof and put it in his city, even in Ophrah, and all Israel went thither are whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. I don't know of any prophet, judge, king, anyone in the Bible whom God used for his service that did not make a mistake. Some bigger mistakes, like David, we know about his mistakes, sins that he has done. Some a little less. Even Moses himself, God did not even let him enter into the land, the promised land, because of the things that he has done. And we might think, well, he didn't do such a big things. But as humans, everyone fails. And here's another thing that he has done. In verse 23, he says, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. Lord God shall rule over you. And he had quite a few, he had 70 children. And one of them was Abimelech. Rest of the chapter speak about him, how he tried to be a king and he failed miserably. But the one son that he had, he says that Gideon had many wives, and this son was from his concubine. His name was Abimelech. You might think, well, that's just another Jewish name. Well, that name means, my father is king. I will not rule over you. I will not be your king. And yet my son's name is, my father is king. So he had a little pride. One way or the other, he will get some kind of a reward. So everyone that calls his son is saying, the father is king. So even through his son's name, he's lifting himself up a little bit. Now, Abimelech, as I mentioned earlier, he was trying to become a king, and to make the longer story short, when they went to war, he was not good. He was an evil man. And he killed all of his brothers. And at the end, the way he died, he went to the battle. And he says, as they came close to the tower, this is chapter 9, verse 53, or starting in 52. And Abimelech came unto the tower and fought against it and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman, not a soldier, a certain woman cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head and all to break his call. A woman throws down a piece of a millstone and he hits his head. Here's a man that was mighty, powerful, wants to be a king. He's going hard against the tower to break down the doors with fire, to go in. And a woman throws a piece of millstone on his head. This did not just happen. God had his hand in it. Now he's wounded. He knows he will die. And yet he does not want to go to down in history. So people will say, oh, this mighty man died from a woman, killed him. So he tells his servant to slay him, to kill him, so the people would not say that he died from the hands of a woman. Anyway, there's so much more perhaps to be said from this chapter about Gideon and the things that he has done and the power and might of God that he did through his servant. Perhaps we can learn something from it, that we would not question God, that we would ask God for miracles, but that we would fully trust God. When he tells us something, he expects us to do something, let us do it without asking for miracles, signs. One more thing, can you just show one more miracle, a sign? We do not need another sign. We know that God is true, God is faithful, and we know that God works with us, and he's on our side. And he's protecting us, he's watching over us, and he gives us all the things that we need so that we can prosper in faith and be faithful unto God. And may God bless his holy word. Amen.
Every time there was a case of idolatry, the Lord had to admonish his people. He writes in his word that, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give unto another, neither my praise to graven images. He would not share his glory with another. And so when Israel committed that idolatry, they had to pay for that, and they paid for it. And then the people looked to a man for help, and they were pleased with Gideon, and they wanted to glorify him. But it was the Lord that needs to be glorified. And so it is in our lives that as we see throughout the Old Testament that the cycle of sin and then the redemption through the Lord as they cried out to him, and each time there was a man involved, but the men failed. The men failed constantly, as was brought out. And so we look to God. And so there will come a time, as it was in the Old Testament, there will come a time in the future that there will be a war against the saints of God. And it won't be a man that will win that war, but God will win that war, just as it was that God won every other war here in the Old Testament. So we look to the Lord. We look to the Lord. We do not look to a man. A man will not save us. A man, though he might have great authority and a mighty man of valor, as Gideon was, a man will not save us. We look to the Lord. And so what's the conclusion of it all? Solomon has come to that conclusion, and he says, here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Amen.